Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I have a well-refreshed, handsome young man all the way from Australia looking right at me on screen. Daniel, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm feeling really good. It's great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. Everybody was starting to wonder. I got questioned all last week. Where's Daniel? Where's Daniel? I said, he's on a sabbatical.
I guess you could call it that.
Well, you know, these long trips to America, and then you got to go back and readjust. And, you know, people were actually wanting to know, hey, is Daniel moving to the United States? Is he bringing his family? What's going on there? So what are your thoughts, young man?
You never know. I mean, the first time I came back from America in 2017, I remember driving back to my house and I sensed the Spirit of the Lord say, prepare passports for Tammy and the kids. So I think it will probably be something that may happen. Mm-hmm. If it does happen, we'll see what the Lord has in store.
Absolutely. Did you get the passports yet?
That is something I am working on.
You're working on that. Okay. And I want that book out and those passports ready. And I know it's 1 o'clock in the morning where you are, right? And God bless you for staying up late with us, man. It's been such a fast pace. We've wanted to do some recorded moments together. Daniel, I'm looking at the most bizarre news going on today, that the Pope is actually calling Christian fundamentalists a scourge within our society. Now, he doesn't namely say Christian fundamentalist, but he does say that fundamentalist anywhere. And according to this one particular article coming out of it's Pope Francis declares, and this is one of your, you're on this, you write at the Prophecy News Network, don't you? Don't you write articles?
Occasionally I write pieces for Prophecy in the News.
Prophecy in the News. Yeah, well, they have Pope Francis declares that Christian fundamentalists are a scourge. And here's his exact words. He says, beware of the fundamentalist groups. Everyone has his own. In Argentina, too, there is a little fundamentalist corner. Let us try with fraternity to go forward. Fundamentalism is a scourge, and all religions have some kind of fundamentalist first cousin there, which forms a group. What's the problem with fundamentalists?
Gosh, fundamentalists adhere to fundamental doctrine. So, but the term fundamentalist has actually been obscured over the years. to mean a fanatic.
A fanatic. Some hardcore, unbudgeable, rigidly, you know, whatever. Yeah. And that's a pretty tough comment then. And I know he's referring to, you know, the fundamentalists in Islam, the fundamentalists in, you know, other religions. But again, there you have your base, your bedrock, right? You have your foundation for your faith.
Yeah, exactly. It's saying that, I mean, it used to mean someone who adhered to the foundational doctrines of Christianity, and that's what it used to mean. But over the years, it was just, I guess, if I could use a crass term, bastardized. And it was, it basically means someone who has become a fanatic. It's a derogatory term referring to people who adhere to the fundamental doctrines of Christianity as a fanatic.
Yeah. All right.
Basically, so calling them a Pharisee.
A Pharisee. Gotcha. Okay. That's the rigidity there. And there's, if you put the Holy Spirit in that, you know, that fundamental foundation, that's not a bad thing. But without going too deep into that, I wanted to ask you, because I haven't talked with you in a long while. You've probably been watching the impeachment hearings here in the United States, and you're kind of, you know, what's been going on with you in the last several weeks? You know, you've gone back home, you're watching what's happening. Are you, what's deep in your spirit right now?
Well, gosh, I've been thinking about a number of different things. I had an incident last Thursday when I fell down the stairs in my house.
Oh no.
So kind of rattled things around in me. And I'm still dealing with a very sprained ribs, which is putting me in a bit of pain. But anyway, enough from that. So basically, I have been watching the impeachment hearings, and what I would gather from that is
Daniel,
there is definitely a concerted effort, and I believe with Louis Gohmert, who says that this is actually, it's a coup. That's exactly what it is. That they are deliberately intending on removing the president of the United States through a veto. They want to remove a duly elected president of the United States via a veto. It's a lawless partisan coup. That's exactly what they're doing. And it's absolutely reprehensible, and it's completely unconstitutional. And what they're doing, if they get away with it, of course, it will not get past the Senate. Although there are some commentators who say that the Senate Republicans can't be trusted. Well, I don't know. I don't believe it'll get past the Senate, but it could very well definitely go to a vote in the House, and it could very well be passed. And see, what they're going for, this is all about projection. This is all about smoke and mirrors. This is all about public perception. See, if they can force a vote on the impeachment, and if they can basically pass the vote, if they can pass impeachment, that for them will be a big public relations projection. That's what they're doing. They know that the public is so dumbed down, and they're too lazy to actually dig into the details and find out for themselves whether it actually does justify a high crimes and misdemeanors. The public don't know. They don't care. They just take whatever the media feeds them. And so if they hear in the news that the House has voted for impeachment, then it's going to be, oh boy, well, President Trump must have done something really bad. And so they'll just gobble it up. And of course, the Democrats take advantage of this. And this is why they're doing it. It's all political theater. It's all political theater. That's all it is. And Schiff knows this. And he knows if he does his part, then the media will do their part. And that's how it works.
Yeah. And now, Daniel, I wanted to go back to something you said earlier, because this is really important. And I know you talked about falling down in your house and hurting your ribs. But here's the deal with that, okay? Something's happened in the last week or so where we have heard probably 7 or 8 situations where people, spiritual people, intercessors, are beginning to recognize a manifestation of demonic. We have heard stories in the last 7 days of individuals who have been walking down a hallway and literally shoved and pushed down twice. We have heard stories of people manifesting on the road, and people following people to their homes. People are having, you know, there seems to be, without getting into the ooey ooey, and I don't believe in ooey ooey, I truly believe there's satanic warfare going on, and there seems to be an uptick in some violent satanic spirit that is manifesting to bring attack. Now, I'm not saying that you falling down the steps was a satanic attack, but I'm not saying it's not either. There seems to be a harassment. There seems to be a push against those that are either connected or are somehow on the front lines. Are you sensing any demonic warfare, you know, from your perspective? Because we certainly are. And it's not just localized. It seems to be something that's spreading out. And it's almost like what someone said, man, the pit is opening and some demonic forces are beginning to come forth and manifest in the realm of persecution and real hatred against the body of Christ. Your thoughts?
Well, I would definitely say I have been noticing some opposition when, especially last week, I have been working on a video, like a video Bible study for my American friend, who the conference organizer, and so she's putting together this video Bible study called the Prophetic Puzzle. Mm-hmm. So there'll be myself and a bunch of other different Bible teachers that are going to be putting together different things. Now, one of the things I thought was extraordinary, when it came to me actually putting this together and going ahead with the filming of it, I came under.
Yeah. Daniel just got knocked right off the very interesting off both radio and YouTube as he's getting ready to talk about the opposition. We'll bring him right back. Here we go. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Just as you were saying that, all of a sudden, kaboom, right?
Isn't it extraordinary?
Yeah, it really is. I think God is absolutely saying, hello, I want you all to listen to this. So you were talking about putting this together, and you came under, yeah. And then it just went kaboom. What happened? Opposition?
Yeah, so basically what happened was is that there was a number of different things that just wouldn't go right. Like the opposition that I had when it came to putting together this talk, gosh, I got sick. I got a really bad flu, and then some of the equipment wouldn't work. Then the time came for me to do the actual recording of it. And when I went to hit record and I delivered it, and then I discovered that the sound didn't work. and it was just one thing after another, and I couldn't believe it. So when the sound didn't work, I thought, okay, fine, I'll do it tomorrow night. And that was coming into the Thursday, and that was the day where I fell down the stairs, ended up in hospital, and had tests all run on me with X-ray, ultrasound, plus a CT scan, just checking and all this kind of stuff, because I was in a lot of pain. And then, of course, I had to delay the recording again by a few days. And then I just thought, well, I'm just going to do it. And so that one particular night, I just prayed. I said, Lord, I just help me to get this done. And that's when it all went. Once I began to pray, which would have made sense in the first place, all made sense. And it all came together. And that's when I was able to do the recording. But the demonic opposition was really interesting. It was really quite overt. It was quite overt and quite obvious. So yeah.
We had six or seven people got hit with the flu in one day, right after Thanksgiving. We've had you heard Rick Wiles, and you and I both know that, you know, Rick's out there on he's way out there, and he's talking about some very serious issues. He's talking about the synagogue of Satan, You know, those who say they are Jews and are not, he's into that. But he just got from a radio station, FM radio station in Austin, Texas. I don't know if you heard this or not, but they did a clip, these three men in Austin on LBJ, KLBJ for Lyndon Baines Johnson in Austin. It's been around for a long time, FM. Well, they basically said, the guy said after playing one of Rick's clips, you know, why, if you're going to snap, go to El Paso to a mall and kill a bunch of innocent people, why don't you go shoot this guy right between the eyeballs and put a, you know, kill him? And twice, True News did a recording on these men live on radio advocating shooting Rick, murdering Rick, going to Vero Beach and killing him. And so this stuff is getting big. And then listening to a brother, Ron, I interviewed yesterday, he's out of Colorado, and he's saying same exact thing has happened to him, where he's been under absolute weakness for an entire week. Other people, as I said, have been followed home by a man with a pistol in his car. Other people have been harassed on the roads. There's been people got knocked down twice. And somebody just talked to us, our dear sister, when she was in Arizona, the bed was shaking. And in each case, it wasn't weird stuff. It was spiritual, demonic warfare. And when the employment of our weapons began to manifest forth and you prayed, which is our great weapon in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, and there have been dreams of some very violent, radical persecution and takeovers where people were falsely accused and some very powerful forces were taking them in possession, arresting them on false charges. Daniel, do you think the persecution is really ready? And do you think God's people are really ready for the level of persecution that's coming?
Short answer to that, I would absolutely say no. I think people are going to be completely caught off guard.
Yeah.
I think people are going to be shocked when they see the level of the persecution that's going to come. I mean, here's the thing. Like, let's go back to that scripture in Daniel 12 where it says that this will all happen when the power of the holy people is broken. So when the power of the godly people have been broken, when they have no longer have any more influence in holding back the in being a strainer to the forces of darkness in our society, when they can no longer hold that back, it's going to be like the French Revolution. I mean, it really will be intense. Remember what Jesus said? He said there'll be.
Yeah, Daniel just got knocked off again. And I do understand he's calling all the way in from Australia. So give it just a moment. And I want to appreciate everybody out there in YouTube land. Here's Daniel. Hold on. All right, Dan, go ahead.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Everything's great.
Okay. Yeah, so I was just going to say that it's going to be pretty full on. Like, I think a lot of people are going to be shocked by that. No, you know, if you were to ask the Christians in 1920s Germany that within just 15, 20 years that they would actually, and you were to describe to them exactly what Hitler would be doing to the Jews. I mean, if you were to say to a Jewish person back then that this is what's going to happen in 15, 20 years, would they believe it?
Could have never believed
it. No.
No way.
No, they wouldn't believe it. They would not believe it, but things changed quickly. Things happened really, really, really quickly. And, you know, I could just imagine the German Christians back then in the 1920s and early 1930s. They would say, no, that would never happen. That would never happen. This is Christian Germany. Mm. This is the Germany of the great theologians of Karl Barth and Martin Luther and, you know, this is Christian Germany. We have a strong Christian heritage. There's no way that would ever happen here. And yet in the same way in which they said that would never happen because this is Christian Germany, I believe that the same thing could actually happen in Christian America. If it can happen in Christian Germany, it can happen in Christian America. And a lot of people might not like me saying that, but look, you've just got to look at your deteriorating culture. look at your deteriorating culture and look at the polarization that's going on in your culture. The division is just absolutely like breathtaking to behold at the moment, where people are openly talking about civil war, whether America will be heading to a civil war. And again, I hate that. I hope it never, ever, ever comes to that. Nobody ever wants to see anything like that happen. But we need to be real and look at the trajectory of what's going on at the moment. And the liberals are baying for blood. They are really becoming very, very fanatical. Like just this Thanksgiving, they were saying that, liberals were just like it was really causing a lot of family division and a lot of different strife all over the country. So we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to pray that God will strengthen what remains.
You know, Daniel, it is so absolutely necessary that God's people know how to fight. I mean, if we don't know what's happening and we just kind of take things for granted, I was pushed down, my bed was shaking, I was followed home by a man with a pistol, I got really sick, there was opposition in everything I'm trying to do to advance the kingdom of God. God's people can't be that ignorant right now. There has to be an awakening to the spiritual reality, realizing that we do possess a name that's greater than any other name. And that's not just to be toyed around with Christianity, but going back to your point, that's exactly what they said in Israel when the prophet Jeremiah was declaring the end of their generation. They were saying, wait a second, we have the temple, we're the people of the book, we've got the Torah. You know, what are you talking about? We're God's people. And yet they had not yet recognized the true condition of their hearts before God as a nation. Mm. I mean, and that's kind of what we're seeing here right now. And I personally believe, probably with a lot of people, we're way overdue and something's at the door. But there's something demonic coming against the elect of God. The righteousness of God is being affronted right now. And if you're a carrier of that righteousness to any degree, you become a target. And we need to know how to fight that and come together and pray as well.
Yep, 100%. And what I think is interesting is what we have seen happening in the news as far as the whole climate side of things. Now, there was a, how would I say, there has been a movement in the climate change department side of things, and I'm just trying to find the article, and I'm just pulling up the article right now. But just to give you an idea, the climate change movement is becoming more and more aggressive, and more than that, more than just aggressive, the mask is slipping and revealing exactly their true intentions. So Greta Thunberg, the child activist, which is
all right,
because there's no way that she says she can come up with some of the things that she says. But she actually supposedly wrote this op-ed. Let me read it to you. This is what she says. This is supposedly coming from Greta Thunberg. And she says, that action must be powerful and wide-ranging. After all, the climate crisis is not just about the environment. Huh. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
She says, it's not just about the environment. So let me keep reading. She says, it is a crisis of human rights, of justice, and of political will. Colonial, racist, and patriarchal systems of oppression have created and fueled it. We must dismantle them all. Our political leaders can no longer shirk their responsibilities. Interesting, isn't it?
My God, colonial racism. Absolutely. Absolutely. There it is again. Daniel, as you're reading that, and I want you to do the commentary, but it just strikes me so deeply that who would have ever dreamed that the level of warfare and persecution that would come in the United States would be coming from American citizens that have been completely taken over by an ideology that is anti-Christ so obviously, and yet is touted as the truth in our nation, that hundreds of millions of people are behind it and have learned to hate anything that stands against it. That's amazing to me. And yet you've been warning about this for over 2 years on this broadcast.
Yep. Yeah, I have. And more than that, like, it's becoming more and more and more obvious. In fact, I think it was just trying to remember who it was. I think it was a Hollywood star. Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo, have you – I don't know if that rings a bell with you. Mark Ruffalo, and let me just read to you what he said. Where are we?
And that gal that –
here it is here.
Yeah, Thunberg was her name, right? That just read that, Greta Thunberg?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, so here we go. Mark Ruffalo, he's the poster boy of the Hollywood lefty elite, and this is what he says. He says he calls for the end of capitalism. He says that it is killing us, and we need to end it as soon as possible. So basically, he's calling for capitalism, which is the economic system that has lifted hundreds of millions of people out of poverty, is the culprit. Incredible. I mean, let me read to you his tweet. He says, it's time for an economic revolution. Capitalism today is failing us, killing us, robbing us from our children's future. And he posts a link to a Time article from Time magazine. Absolutely ridiculous. But then again, this is being echoed by so many other useful idiots. And when I say useful idiots, I'm not being derogatory. I'm just basically using a term that Lenin used of people who had no idea what his end game was. They championed his cause, but they had no idea what his agenda was all about. So Mark Ruffalo, and not just him, Greta Thunberg, who says that we need to dismantle these systems of oppression. And then we also have Extinction Rebellion, and it was Extinction Rebellion who basically came out and said, see if I can find it.
You know, as you're looking for that, one of the things that really does strike me about the conversation is that with all the information that has come out, the pointed quotes, and you go back and you listen to the narrative of the people like Lenin and Marx and all the people you've talked about through the years, you know, the narrative is so clear what their intent is and what their end game is, and yet how few people would even sit back to recognize and realize that that's exactly what's happening right now. Their plan is working perfectly, but nobody's paying attention to it. How is that even possible? Now, and here's Ron telling us that Mark Ruffalo played the Hulk. Okay.
Yeah,
good. So, but it's amazing to me.
It is. It's absolutely incredible. But see, the thing is that the people, look at us, have drunken the Kool-Aid. And they look at us and see that we're involved in these cheesy right-wing conspiracy theories, which is absolutely not the case. In fact, I put together a little, what's fascinating about George Orwell's 1984. George Orwell wrote that novel. It's a dystopian novel talking about future nations that, in which they completely substitute self-evident truth for their own ideology, and they brainwash their people with their own ideology. In fact, the nation is called INSOC, which is an acronym for English Socialism, which is funny because you have George Orwell writing a dystopian novel about a totalitarian government that completely erases and redefines reality, and it's a socialist country that does it. So not much has changed. But I wrote this piece, which is kind of like a bit of a satirical kind of a take on Orwell's 1984, because in Orwell's 1984, they had these statements. They had war is peace, ignorance is strength, and I forget the other one. But basically, it was just propaganda that they used to brainwash the people with. They would say ignorance is strength. They would say war is peace. And they would basically brainwash these people into thinking the polar opposite of what the real term was. So anyway, I did my own little thing with my own take on Orwell, but in regard to what's actually happening. And this is what I came up with. So I'm starting from the shortest down to the longest term. So it starts with CO2 is poison. Capitalism is evil. Masculinity is toxic. Diversity is strength. Disagreement is hate. Abortion is healthcare. Patriarchy is oppression. Conservatism is fascism. A fetus is a blob of tissue. Feminism is empowerment. Islam is a religion of peace. Gender is a social construct. Total compliance is tolerance. Transgender men are real men. Difference of opinion is bigotry. Patriotism is white nationalism. America is a colonialist oppressor. Illegal immigration is a human right. Transgender women are real women. Conservative speech is hate speech. Criticism of minority groups is a phobia. And homosexuality is normal, natural, and healthy. So that's my own take on that.
But you know what? That's what we're being fed every single day, day after day. And you constantly hear from the promoters of that ideology, Daniel, it's just a matter of time, just a matter of time. In other words, we're going to keep pushing this narrative, even though it was secret. Now it's out in the open. We're going to keep pushing this narrative, and we believe it's going to work. We believe eventually every Christian is going to have to bow their knee. You know, the Christians have been saying every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, their narrative is every Christian knee will bow and every Christian tongue will confess to everything you just basically said. I mean, are we ready for that level of warfare? Seriously?
Well, gosh, I think, again, the church is going to be completely taken off guard because we're not going to be around when all this comes to a head.
Right, we're gone.
So they believe.
Sure,
So they much of the church is going to be completely believing that they're not going to be here and they won't have to deal with it. Gosh, if there is ever a false doctrine that is going to wreak havoc in these last days in regard to leaving completely unprepared and will leave them disillusioned.
So, Daniel, let's talk about the mind control, because, you know, not only is it a far out topic, but it's very, very real that people's minds can be controlled. And we have discovered scientifically that food could actually control the way one thinks. Sugar is a huge proponent to thought change. OK, so in the world we live, as the bars are thickening and are strengthening around us, you know, Jesus said there'll be a trap in the whole world and they will not escape, right? Didn't he say that in Luke 21? Like a snare shall it come on the whole earth and they shall not escape. So there's a snare being built. There's a trap going forth. And we're being told just about every single day, don't leave your technology behind. Man, if you leave your technology behind, you're not going to be able to go on into the brave new world. And there are some concerns that we've just jumped so lackadaisically into, and I'm just throwing some thoughts out there, but the World Wide Web, the internet, you know, have we just, willingly been ignorant because we wanted the goodies and the benefits? And is this how that mark of the beast is going to be given to people because they're not thinking about it? Or is it going to be so obvious that you're going to have to make a decision? Because we're going deeper and deeper into stuff right now. I mean, and is there a point of no return?
Well, you know, it was Stalin who famously said, he said, "We will hang the capitalists with the rope that we sell them." He said, "We will hang the capitalists with the rope that we sell them." And that's a profound truth, because what he's actually saying is that people are actually going to hang themselves on the very thing that they are trying to consume themselves with. This is what's going on with China at the moment. And this is why Trump did a great thing in standing up to China, because America has pretty much funded China's military machine.
True.
It's actually, America has basically funded China's military prowess. And that's a hard truth, but that's exactly what's happened. But it's not just through America funding it. It's also because China has also gotten where they are because of theft, technological theft and things like that. But whenever there is a society that is absolutely bent on materialism, they will basically enslave themselves out of their addiction to materialism. Whatever it is that they're throwing money at, the very thing that is having money thrown at them will become so big and so powerful that it will end up controlling the people whom that is throwing money at.
Daniel, let me ask you a question. Right now, if you were to put scripture to what we're talking about and to what's going on in the world today, I mean, we know that there's a level of persecution, there's violence, there's division, house divided cannot stand. All these things are going on in the world. What scripture would you actually use as a lens for people to look through right now at the world, you know, a worldview of where we are in time, where we are in the economy of God? What would you share about that?
There's a number of different things where I could say. I think it all goes back to the church. And, you know, there is a progression that we see in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark 13. There's a progression. And it always starts, Jesus starts the conversation with saying, "Watch out that nobody deceives you." Deception is a massive, massive thing in these last days. Then he then starts talking about false teachers and false teaching. And that's really, really key. And the reason why it's key is because the false teaching creeps into the church where there has been a hapsy-daisy kind of a lazy kind of a attitude, where there's a consumer mentality in the church where it's a feed me, you know, give me, my name's Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me kind of a church, you know. And so basically so false teaching comes in, and this is all, again, If they are lazy in regard to their discipleship, in regard to their devotions, in regard to, you know, if there is biblical illiteracy going on in any particular church, then false teachers can come in. And once false teaching takes a hold, it leads to the next thing that Jesus talked about. So Jesus warned that there will be false teachers, but then he moved on to the next thing. There will be a great falling away. So people will fall away from the church. And then the falling away from the church means that the church loses its influence. The church becomes diminished in its strength and it loses its voice. And as I say many times that when the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. And then Jesus said that there will be an increase of wickedness. So the increase of wickedness is due to the church losing its voice, which is due to the great falling away, which is due to the false teaching. Can you see the link between all those?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You won't have the strength of the truth to fight against the deception. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And the wickedness leads to you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, remember what George Orwell said. He said that the further a society drifts away from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. Now, that's not a profound truth that Orwell came up with. Really, I think he got that from the Bible. I mean, Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light.
All right, we lost Daniel again. He just kind of snapped off there. He'll be right back, I'm positive. Great conversation. Trust you're coming along. If you have any questions or comments, by the way, go ahead and we'll open the telephone lines right now. All right, sorry about that, Dan. We just got knocked off a little bit, and we've got a good 20 minutes left in the broadcast. Keep going, please.
Yeah, so all those different things are all interrelated. They're basically all interconnected. And it makes sense. And by the way, a lot of this has got to do, I mean, if Jesus is talking to believers, okay, he's also talking, this also applies to Christian nations, and especially nations like the United States and other Christian nations like Australia. You know, first of all, it's all about deception. If the enemy can gain a foothold, in regard to getting deception into the church. And this is what we're happening. And by the way, one of the big things that's happening in the churches at the moment, and we're seeing this happening in the Southern Baptist Convention as well, is that this whole social justice movement is coming into the church. It's creeping into the church. And leftist ideology is slowly gaining traction in the church, where churches are becoming more and more obsessed over identity politics and social justice issues and things like that, which is just, and this is where it's even racial identity politics and all these critical theory, all these things are creeping into the church, and you're seeing cultural Marxism creeping in the back door of the church, and it's coming in even some prominent figures such as Russell Moore and the Gospel Coalition are being infected with this ideology. And we can expect to see more and more of this happening in the last days, that's for sure.
Daniel, as you're talking, it kind of occurs to me that everything that we've been reading and studying in our Bibles for years in such a joyful, peaceful society, so to speak, it's been pretty easy, no confrontation up front, face-to-face. This is really a time for God's people everywhere, you, me, and everybody listening, and Christians all over the world, to really start adhering to the message, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For he who loves the world or has the love for the things of this world has not the love of the Father. This is a real time to carry the cross. It's a real time to begin to recognize that we're not going to be here forever, that life is a vapor, and what we do with the time that we have left is imperative. And I do believe there are things that we could be doing, should be doing, that we're not doing, that we could be doing better. It's always good, better, best. I will never rest until my good is better and my better is best. I believe in that. And there's so much room for development, cultivation, and growth. And if we are in God doing the right things, regardless of the level of persecution, God will protect his people. But I think that lukewarm state or that compromised state or that half-hearted approach to things probably isn't going to work in the days ahead. It may have worked yesterday, but it's probably not going to work in the days ahead. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can hear me, Vincent.
Yeah, I hear you great. Yeah, I hear you great.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Am I coming through on the Amiga Radio Network?
I'd have to check that out. You have been. Let's see. I'm pretty sure you are. Let's go to Omega Radio Network and see. Go ahead and start. Keep on talking.
Okay, can you hear me okay on the broadcast and the Mega Radio?
Keep on talking.
Go ahead, keep talking.
Yep. Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yep, I hear you. You're on Omega.
All right, cool.
All right.
Okay.
And you're on Blog Talk.
Okay, good. All right, so getting back to what you were saying. Oh, the audio sounds so much better now.
What did you do?
So anyway, just refresh me what you were saying.
Just talking about the necessity of taking up our cross in this hour, that our lighthearted approach to things probably isn't going to stand with the level of persecution that's coming. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we definitely need to begin to prepare ourselves.
And love not the world.
Love not the world. We must not love the world. We need to basically wean ourselves off the world as much as we possibly can. In fact, we need to have a loose hold onto the things of this world. Have a loose hold. Don't grab firmly onto the things of this world. In fact, if the time ever comes when we will have to flee, how established would you be in the things of this world? You know, how difficult will it be for you if you have to flee at any given moment?
Great question.
These are questions that you need to ask yourself. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be shocked about just how practical things will be in regard to preparing for the last days. Now, there are three areas where we're going to be tested. Actually, there's probably more than three. But one of the areas where we'll be tested in the last days is in regard to food. You know, the Bible says very clearly that there will be famine. You know, you read in the book of Revelation and it says that, in fact, I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but it talks about when one of the seals is broken, it says that
the black horse.
The black horse, yeah.
Economic so imbalance, famine. Yeah.
Yep, there's going to be famine. So we're going to be tested in the area of food, and the Antichrist is going to make it so that the only possible way that you can actually guarantee yourself food is if you take the mark. Okay. So that's one area where we're going to be tested. And another area that we're going to be tested is in regard to our worship. There is going to be a lot of pressure that's going to be applied to worship the Antichrist, to show your allegiance to the Antichrist. You know, you really need to look at the stories in the book of Daniel when you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused to bow down. And also in regard to Daniel, who refused to stop praying. He committed himself to prayer and to pray without bowing down to the demands to stop praying. And as a result, he was thrown into the lion's den. So we worship as one of the other areas. Now, one of the other areas we're going to be tested in is our testimony. So we are going to be sorely tested when it comes to our testimony. We're going to be pushed to renounce Christ, and we need to make sure that we uphold and that we stand firm and that we fight for our testimony. You know, I preached a message a number of years ago called Having a Testimony Worth Fighting For. Maintaining your testimony, defending your testimony to ensure that it's not speared, to ensure that it stands and upholding your testimony means committing yourself to a holy life. It means washing yourself and basically getting the world's hold and the world's influence off our lives and maintaining a testimony that shines in these last days. You know, I'm often reminded of the scripture in Daniel, and those that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits in his name. Those that know their God, those that know their God are the ones that are going to be doing exploits. And also too, you know, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So if you want the Lord to strengthen you, then you need to have your hearts fully committed to him. If your heart is fully committed to him, then he will bring strength to you. So that's a really important thing to remember. So we're going to be tested in a whole bunch of different areas, but we need to make sure that you're covering all bases. And again, people are going to be surprised when they see just how practical our preparation will be in regard to the last days, this doesn't come as any surprise. I mean, when you look at the Bible, when you look at books like Daniel is a great example. The book of Daniel is actually divided into two halves. So chapters 1 to 6 is actually all about practical living in how to live as a believer in a society that is hostile toward God and his followers. That's chapter 1 to 6. Now, chapter 7 to 12 is all about what the signs are in regard to what to look for. What to look for in regard to the kingdoms coming up against kingdoms and nations coming up against nations. That's the signs in regard to what we are to look for. So one half of the book is how to live, and the other half of the book is what to look out for. Same goes with the book of Revelation. You know, the book of Revelation, the first three chapters is Jesus writing to the seven churches throughout Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. But Jesus offers a lot of advice. I mean, Jesus basically chides and chastises a number of different churches in regards to where they have dropped the ball. But there are other churches where he actually offers praise and admonition in regard to them. And what is interesting, Vincent, is that the churches that he has the most criticism for are the bigger churches and the ones that are actually perceived to be successful churches. The churches that are perceived to be the ones that are the most successful are the ones that he has the most criticism for. You know, when he says you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead, you know, but the churches that he has the most praise for, the churches that he has the most positive things to say about, are the churches are the ones that are small and the ones that have gone through tremendous persecution. The churches that have gone through the most persecution are the ones that he generally has the most praise for, which I think is a poignant, but it's a very, very important point to make.
It certainly is. It's heart stirring. Quite frankly, it's deep. And the persecution that God allows into any church is always designed by him to deal with the chaff in our own lives. And he's always purifying the gold on the inside of us. The words that you're hearing this morning, ladies and gentlemen, they're just truly being spoken. Holy Spirit is here. There is warfare going on all over the world. There's warfare going on in maybe your family, your life, your church, your community, your country that you live in. There's so much happening, and you must, and I must, and we must genuinely. I love the scripture that Patricia keeps talking about out of Isaiah, enter into your chamber and shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. Daniel, that's important stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's a great verse. I love that verse because, you know, we see foreshadowings of that in Exodus. Because how God actually protected the children of Abraham in the land of Goshen. And what happened? Well, they waited until his wrath passed, you know. So God is going to do a very similar thing in the sense that, well, we won't be, well, when all that wrath is bare, this is why the orge is being poured out. I just used a Greek word.
Yes.
Because, see, the pre-trib crowd love to say that, well, God has not appointed us unto wrath, thinking that it's going to be referring to the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Tribulation is actually the Greek word thlipsis, which is different. Thlipsis actually means persecution, pressure. Basically, it's the pressure to do with persecution. Okay. Now, and listen, that is something that all believers are going to go through, and we're not exempt from that. However, we are not, see, and they always quote that scripture, for God has not appointed us unto wrath, thinking it's to do with thlipsis, thinking it's to do with persecution and tribulation. It's not what the word means. The Greek word that Paul uses there is orge, for we are not appointed unto orge. Orge is translated as anger, wrath, retribution. And the inference is on God's anger, God's wrath, and God's retribution. We're not appointed under that. So when that's poured out on the ungodly in these last days, and we're going to witness that, we're going to be shielded from that. Just as the children of Israel were shielded from that in the land of Goshen, so where his righteous people be shielded. You know, and that's why when you actually, when you read in, I think he was, Jesus was actually talking in regard to the church of Philadelphia when he said this. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And this is what he says. He says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. Isn't that remarkable?
It is remarkable. We've actually been studying that. Patricia brought that out in Bible study a few weeks ago, and we do maintain in that direction. Daniel, we're down to just 3 or 4 minutes left in the broadcast today. And I really feel this is an appeal from heaven. And I just sensed something while you were talking to anybody out there, including yourself or us or whoever is there. You know, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So for every attack that has come against your life, we here at New Wine Ministries, we've decreed a thing, and we're going to decree that right now, that there be a sevenfold return, that the devil who has vexed you, harassed you, has come against your life, there will be a sevenfold return. But remember this in the decree, that it's after God gets his way in his people. In other words, he brings them to an end of themselves. He brings them to an understanding of why were you under judgment in the first place? There was something in your life. There was some sin in your life that God was after, and you weren't paying attention to it. So God allowed the crises to hit, but with a purpose. And for Joel chapter 2, he tells the nation of Israel, but now I'm going to turn it around. And that sevenfold blessing is going to come to you and I when we realize we've been under judgment. And judgment's not a bad thing. It simply means crises. It's to separate us from anything that cannot enter into the kingdom anyways. And so I want you to receive the decree of a sevenfold return in your health, your finances, your relationships, your body, whatever it may be, because that is what the Spirit of God is wanting to do. And just make sure that you keep on confessing whatever it is that you have done or we have done against the Lord or against our own lives, whatever it is, be super sensitive to that. It's a time to be that sensitive if you really want to get the blessing and see this thing turn around. We're called to a wrestling match, aren't we, Daniel? And in a wrestling match, it's all about reversals. You get points for the reversal. I want to give you the last 2 minutes in the broadcast. And then, Daniel, I want you to really pray. In about an hour, I'm going to be on Kerm Radio, and I'm going to be interviewing Elizabeth Wanig. And she is the co-founder of the Changed Movement, which is a movement of men and women who lived in the homosexual lifestyle that have come out. And she's under a lot of fire. She's a brilliant woman. She's got a master's degree in theology. She got radically born again, had a real deep experience. We're going to be talking to her today on Kerm Radio. And, man, we're going to need all the prayer we can get. But go ahead and take these last 2 minutes and speak into the body of Christ.
Well, I just want to basically say that people need to understand the days that we're living in. In the most extraordinary days possible. We are living at the consummation of human history.
Yeah.
We are living in the days that the prophets of old spoke about. And we are the believers. We are the ones that are in this day. You know, let me quote you this quote from Leonard Ravenhill. He said, Paul never glamorized the gospel. It is not success, but sacrifice. It is not a glamorous gospel, but a bloody gospel. A gory gospel and a sacrificial gospel, 5 minutes inside eternity, and we will wish that we had sacrificed more, wept more, bled more, grieved more, loved more, prayed more, and given more. And I just think, wow, doesn't that bring it home? Don't we wish that we would give every ounce of strength and every drop of sweat in praying and living in these to our fullest in these last days? And I think that is where we really have got to get ourselves in regard to life.
Amen. Daniel, let us run the race, therefore, that's been set before us. Let us run with patience. Let's endure all things. God bless you, my friend. Can't wait to hear from you again. You know, we don't have to wait a week. You got some good stuff to be sharing out there. And let you and I communicate. And thank you for joining us today. And for the body of Christ, continue to pray for Daniel and his family out there in Australia. They need your undergirding as well. Keep them in prayer. And I know he and his church family are praying out there as well for you and I. So God bless you, Daniel Seckham. We love you. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. Love
Shalom.
You,
love you, too. All right. That's it for us. We got to go. 1 hour, KURM Radio, KURM.net. Going to have an amazing interview with Elizabeth Oining. We'll talk to you soon. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Watchman.